I want you to turn to Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Familiar passage of scripture. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon him, upon his eyes, and he made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. We'll stop there with the reading. I'm interested in that verse 25, the very first part of it, when he says, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes. And here's the thought for tonight. He touched me again. He touched me again. I believe that God within our spirit and in our soul can give us victory for the battles that we have yet to face. But even though he has already promised us victory, it does not exempt us from going through a process. Just because he's promised us victory, just because he's promised us healing, and just because he's promised us certain things in our life does not mean we are exempt from going through a process. Mark chapter 8 tells us here and shows us in this passage of scripture that I read to you that God often allows a process to get to a miracle. Now let me say this by the way of introduction. Just because you're going through a process, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. Number one, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong against God. It doesn't mean that you have damaged your devotion to the Lord. It also doesn't mean that you have any fault in your faith. It also doesn't mean that the devil is in charge. Just because you haven't got your answer yet doesn't mean the devil is working overtime. Now I know you're looking at me with and kind of think, where are you going with this? But let me just hear me out. I thought about this the other day. God may not always be a right now God, but he's always an on-time God. Now that doesn't mean that, when I say that, it doesn't mean that I don't think that God's never there. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that God isn't there. He's always there. He never leaves us, right? He never forsakes us. You can't go anywhere without God being there. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to God answering prayer, he's not always a right now answering God, but he's always an on time answering God. And think about it this way. If he was a right now answering God, there would not be any need for faith. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, now faith is the substance of things, help me out, Bible readers, hope for, the evidence of things not seen. If every time we prayed for God to answer a prayer and he answered it immediately, why would we need faith? We wouldn't. Because it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And here's what I want us to focus on tonight. I want us to understand, sometimes a process is actually progress. I'll say that again. Sometimes a process is actually progress. Now, Mark's gospel, of course, we know he is one of the gospel writers, and Mark's account shows Jesus as being the Son of Man, being the ultimate servant. He writes, the book of Mark is written mainly to Roman Gentiles. Mark is very, I will say that he gets to the point, okay? He doesn't mince words. He doesn't go into a lot of Jewish culture, because that's not who he's writing to. He's writing to the Romans and he's writing to the Gentiles. So he gets down to business with what he's talking about. He records 19 miracles in the book of Mark, and you'll find that there's actually a couple words that keep popping up in the book of Mark over and over again. And there are two words known as this. They're straightway and immediately. That's a common theme in Mark. In Mark chapter 1, verse 18, whenever he met the disciples and he told them, come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men, the Bible says they dropped their nets and straightway followed him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 31, Peter's mother-in-law became sick with a fever. The Bible says that Jesus went to her, touched her, and the Bible says immediately she was healed. In Mark chapter 1, verse 42, a leper came to Jesus and he was healed instantly of his leprosy. In Mark chapter 2, verse 12, we know that they brought a man to a house where Jesus was. They tore the roof off. They lowered him down into the midst of Jesus at his feet. And the Bible says that immediately he arose and he went on his way. In Mark chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible says that a woman came to Jesus who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says when she touched the hem of his garment, straightway the fountain of her blood dried up. In Mark chapter 5, verse 42, Jesus goes on to Jairus' house and he goes into the house where there's a little girl there that is 12 years old. And he says, Talithakumai, which means damsel, arise. And the Bible says straightway the damsel arose. In Mark chapter 7, verse 35, Jesus came to a deaf and dumb man, and the Bible says that he touched the man and his ears were unstopped immediately. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 52, he came to a man in Jericho by the name of Bartimaeus, and the Bible says when he just spoke the word, the Bible says immediately Bartimaeus' vision was healed. So we see that common theme. But in Mark chapter 8, right in the midst of him doing things immediately, he does something odd for the book of Mark. The only time in the book of Mark where you'll find that this healing involved a process. Now, can I just say this? We don't like to go through a process. We want everything now. When we pray, I expect God and believe God to do it. And I want him sometimes to do it now, and sometimes he will do it now. Aren't you glad that when there are times that we pray, he does it immediately? And you'll find that most of like I said, in the book of Mark, 19 miracles, 18 of them, he did it straightway. Immediately, but this one, he doesn't. Most scholars would tell you that out of the miracles in Mark, this is probably the most realistic that applies to the way we live our lives as Christians. Most of the time in my life, God allows me to go through a process to get to where I'm going. But just because God allows us to go through a process doesn't mean that he's mad at you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care about you. It doesn't mean that he won't answer you. It just means you got to go through a process. So I want you to notice three things real quick. You all with me? First of all, if we're going to go through this process, number one, we have to appreciate our facilitators. Appreciate our facilitators. Look at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Notice this. When this man couldn't get to Jesus, there was a group of people who were anonymous that cared enough about this man that even though he couldn't see Jesus, even though he couldn't find Jesus, even though he didn't know the way to Jesus, someone cared enough to say, hey, I can take you to someone that can help you. And you better be thankful tonight that you've had people in your life. No one will ever know their name. They'll never be on a marquee. They'll never be written down somewhere for people to remember. But there are people in your life when you couldn't get to Jesus, when you couldn't see Jesus, they cared enough about you. They loved you enough and they brought you to Jesus. Hallelujah. People loved this man enough. They cared enough about him. When he couldn't find Jesus, they brought him to Jesus. They wanted to make a difference instead of making a name. God help us to rid ourselves of any jealous pride that wants recognized for everything that we do. You'll find, especially in the church, there'll be people when things are going that needed to be done, that a lot of people will do them just to get their name recognized. If a good church is going to exist, it's going to exist because there's a lot of people that choose to remain anonymous. Some of you will never know what goes on behind the scenes here, but there are people that are in here almost every day making sure that this place is clean, that making sure this place is ready for worship. People that are do things that you'll never know about. But listen, God takes a record of it. I'm thankful for people that don't that care about a name. They just want to make a difference. Hallelujah. Praise God. And these people, their whole ministry, this is a beautiful picture of the ministry of evangelism. How we bring people to Jesus. And some people in life, their whole ministry, God has allowed them, their whole ministry is just to bring people to Jesus. And my, how we need that today. Some people, some church people think that it's the pastor's job to do everything. And it's the leader's job to do everything. But listen, it does not, just because we're pastors and just because we have leaders in this church and people that take care of things does not exempt you from not doing something. There is something every one of us can do. You say, Brian, what is that? It's bring someone to Jesus. Bring them in. Then let us preach to them and see him come to Jesus. How many of you can honestly say, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you can honestly say someone cared enough, they invited you to the house of God, they invited you to learn about Jesus, and you're here tonight because somebody that chose to remain nameless made a difference in your life by bringing you to the man of God. Hallelujah. They brought you to the Lamb of God. Nameless people. But God says, even though they're nameless, they brought this man when he couldn't get to Jesus. Next time you're at an airport, I want you to pay attention to something. I know you know this, but most of the time planes don't drive in reverse. In order for them to leave their parked position, they got to have help. Most people don't even know what the name of that truck is. You know what? I didn't either. I had to look it up. You know what? It's called a pushback tractor or a tug. Yeah, that's what it's called. A pushback tractor or a tug. You say, well, Brian, what does that have to do with anything? No one cares about that pushback tractor. No one knows the name of that pushback tractor. Nobody knows who's driving that pushback tractor. Nobody even cares the name of that person doing it. But if someone didn't do it, your plane ain't getting out on the runway and you aren't flying. A nameless piece of equipment, a nameless person driving that equipment, but how important they are to make sure that that plane gets off the ground. And listen, there are people in your life, they just gave you a little tug, amen, and they brought you to Jesus, and because of that, you're flying for him. Hallelujah, aren't you glad somebody was placed in your life to get you to Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Secondly, first of all, we got to appreciate our facilitators. And secondly, we've got to agree to follow. Agree to follow. Look at verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Took him by the hand and led him out of the town. Notice this. He took him by the hand while he was still blind. he didn't cure him and then ask him to follow him. He said, you've got to be willing to walk with me before I do anything for you. That's good preaching. I expect some amens right there. He said, you've got to be willing to walk with me before I do something for you. How many people want to do it in reverse? They don't want to say, Lord, if you do something for me, then I'll serve you. Then I'll follow you. He says, no, you got to be willing to walk with me even though you don't know your next step, even though you're blind, even though you don't know which direction you're going, you got to be willing to walk with me. But thank God, aren't you thankful that when you're walking with him, he'll lead you to a place where he can do something with you. And what this man didn't know, Jesus was doing this man a favor. Because if you understand and read your Bible correctly, you'll find that it says, and he cometh to Bethsaida. Now you say, well, that might not mean nothing to you, but you got to understand, back in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus had cursed Bethsaida. And the reason why this man was blind is because he was cursed from Bethsaida. So Jesus had to get him away from the curse before he can do anything for him. Listen, Jesus let him out of that awful place that he was in. That place was cursed because they were unrepentant. And Jesus said, I can't do anything while you're in this state. This man didn't even know he was in a cursed situation. But Jesus let him out to a place where he could do something with him. Listen, folks, we got to be willing to walk with Jesus. But listen, anytime we walk with him, he's leading us to a place where he can do something for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, notice this with me. In the Bible, and especially in the Gospels, when Jesus healed blind men, he did it in a multitude of ways, didn't he? Matthew chapter 9, verse 32, there was two blind men, and he touched them. In Matthew chapter 12, a man got in the presence of Jesus, and he was healed. In Matthew chapter 10, Bartimaeus, like I said, Jesus spoke the word, and Bartimaeus was healed. But in Mark chapter 8, Jesus spit on him. You said, why? Why would you bring that up? Because what God does for someone else may not be the same process that you have to go through. That's why I try to stay away from prophets or preachers or anyone that would say, I know in a certain amount of days, a certain amount of time that God's going to do this. You don't know God's schedule. What he did for you at one time, he may not do for somebody else. What God chooses to do for Tammy Jones Robinette, he may not do for Brian Baer. Yes, the healing may be the same, the need may be the same, but God may choose to take her through a different process and take me through a different process. Just because he did it for someone one way doesn't mean he's going to do the same for you. You just got to trust the process that God has for you. Amen. He may touch you. You may get in his presence and he may heal you. He may speak the word and it be done. But some of you, he has to spit on you. Now you say, well, Robbie, because some of us were in a nasty mess and Jesus had to bring us out of some nasty places. It ain't pretty. It ain't may be the way you want it to happen. But he does it. And he does it for a reason. And I'm going to show you why. I got to hurry. So we appreciate the facilitators. And then secondly, we agree to follow him. And then thirdly, I want you to notice, we acquire a new focus. Look at verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. Ain't that a weird question? Do you see anything? Man, you just spit on me. All I can see now is spit. That's just my sanctified imagination. But no, he did see something, didn't he? Look what it said in verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now we read over that and we immediately want to go to the trees walking. But we miss the whole miracle. Do you not understand? The spit worked. You say it did? Yeah, because he said, I see. We miss those two words, but they're important. I see means the miracle worked, the spit worked. He said, I see men. That means that God did it. God did the miracle. But then he said, I see trees walking. And there's the problem. Then Jesus, the Bible says, he put his hands upon him again. Does that mean that the first time he did it, it didn't work? Nah. Nah. Because the man saw. But why did he touch him again? He touched him again, not to give him sight, but to give him focus. I'll just let you think about that a second. He didn't touch him to give him sight because he already gave him sight. He touched him again to give him focus so he could see clearly. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel him tonight. I feel him tonight. Some of you have sight. You can see just fine, but some of you need focus. People have distracted you. Circumstances have overwhelmed you. People's attitudes have detoured you, and you need focus. You know what your prayer needs to be tonight? Lord, touch me again. Touch me again. And listen, I don't care how many times he has to touch me. If I have to pray that same prayer every single day, I want him to touch me again. Lord, I need focus. I know you've already saved me. I know you've already removed the sin over from my eyes and caused me to see anew. But now I need to focus on you. I need to reprioritize my life. And in these days in which we're living right now, the most important thing we can pray is the Lord, touch me again. Touch me again. Help me to see you more clearly. That's what he wants us to do. It wasn't that the first time didn't work. He did it again for a purpose. He touched me again. And look, something very important, verse 25. He put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. I've already alluded to this. You cannot focus with your head down. So many of us try to see, or actually, let me say it this way. So many of us look through our attitude and through our spirit. And the way your attitude and your spirit it looks is always down. It's always negative. And listen, if you listen to the world, they want you to walk with your head down right now. And I'm not saying circumstances aren't hard. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that people don't need healed. I'm not saying that what our pastor's wife and what our pastor's going through right now is not real. Absolutely not. But what I'm telling you is get your head up. Get your head up, church. Rubyville Community Church, get your head up. Get your head up. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath a clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not sworn deceitfully nor lifted up his soul unto vanity. For he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness of God for his salvation. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, even be lifted up your everlasting doors. And what will happen? And the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your hands, all your gates, even be lifted up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. He's the one we got to look to. He's the one. If there's going to be any hope for us to get through our current situation, get your head up. Why? He could not focus on Jesus with his head down. And you cannot focus on Jesus with your head down. Get your head up and look to Jesus. Amen. And when he looked up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. That means he saw all the men clearly, he saw himself clearly, and he saw Jesus clearly. Why? Because he touched him again. He got his focus right. He saw every man clear. He gave him a new outlook when he touched him again. Praise the Lord. Now let me ask you a couple of questions in closing. When he touched him again, what happened to the trees? The trees are never mentioned again. You know why? Because he never saw trees in the first place. He saw men as trees. So when he didn't see trees again, he just saw men. That means he understood that his focus and his sight was exactly where it needed to be when he stopped seeing certain things. Sometimes our focus will be correct when we stop seeing certain things. And then, let me ask you this. If he was blind, how did he know what trees look like? And how did he know what men look like? He was blind, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. But he says, I see men as trees. So if he was blind, how did he know what trees look like? And how did he know what men look like? Here's what I think. He wasn't always blind. I don't think he was born blind. I think because he lived in a cursed society and in a cursed city and a cursed world of Bethsaida, that over time he became blind. And then when Jesus touched him and touched him again, look at what it says. I think this proves my point. And he was restored. If you're restored, that means it was probably working before. Right? Help me out now. Shake your head. This is the right answer, George Holly says. If it was restored, that means it was working at one time. But because of sin, and because of the curse, it became broken. But when Jesus touched him again, he was restored. Hallelujah. And if you look through the cinema of your remembrance and look at how God and where he's brought you from, many of you could say when you started your life, everything was working great. But then somewhere along the way, sin came in and broke you. But thank God the touch, one touch of the hand of God gave you new life. And then he continues to touch you and refocus your life. That way every time you look up, all you can see is him. I'm thankful he touched me again. I'm thankful he saw fit enough to touch me again. And then I want you to notice what he said. In verse 26, and I'm shutting up. Tammy, could you come get us on, please, if you don't care. And he says, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. What town is he referring to? Bethsaida. He says, I'm giving you a new outlook, and I'm giving you a miracle. Not for you to go back to the old life you were living in. I'm giving you a vision for you to go somewhere else. Praise God. When he changes our life, it's not for us to go back to the old life we were living. It's to do something brand new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. All things are become new. I'm thankful he touched me again. Whatever you have, whatever need you may be facing tonight, if you're going through a process and you feel like God isn't listening, or maybe you feel like Satan may be coming against you and you feel like because you haven't got an answer that somehow you've done something wrong, I want to encourage you tonight. Process may just be progress. But when he does it, when he does it, he'll do it unlike it's ever been done before.